Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today we're going to be doing somewhat of a new topic. I've read stories about hunters, and I've also read stories about cryptids in the past, but I haven't read too much on cryptid hunters. So today we are going to be reading some really strange, creepy, and anomalous cryptid hunting stories. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a cryptid story, a hunting story, or even a cryptid hunting story, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, as stories like yours to help keep this channel going. Now, let's get into these creepy stories and find out what these hunters have caught in their traps. A few years ago, my best friend went missing. He was a good man and a kind soul. Kind of guy who would give his only food to someone on the street who needed it more, even if it meant he would go hungry. The guy's name was Brett. Brett really loved hunting, and said he'd be out for a week or two to get some delicious future deer sausage, as he liked to put it. The man was a saint, and so, when he was a few days late from the trip, we all got concerned. When it hit a week, we dropped everything and went looking for him ourselves. For the record, we reported Brett missing a few days prior. The group on this search was myself and three of my buddies who we'll call Tom, Jim, and Daniel. I won't use my name, but you can call me Jack. Before we go any further, I should mention we live in Mississippi. Small details out of the way, let's get on with the story. The first day, or night, rather, that we went on a search, we arrived late and set up our campsite. The night was cold. It was November, almost December of an unseasonably cold fall, and we were tired. We knew we wouldn't be able to do much searching at that moment, and so we decided to sleep so we could get up bright and early and truly begin the search. We slept for a time, but at about 3 a.m, I heard a completely strange sound. I'm not even sure how to describe it, but it woke me up out of a dead sleep. It was loud. That much I can say. Loud enough to rile up most of the camp and have us looking out of our tents. Daniel was the only one who was still sleeping, but that guy could sleep through literally the end of the world. Anyway, those of us who were awake eyeballed one another before deciding to get up and listen for a few minutes more. When we heard nothing, we figured we'd try to get another hour or so shut-eye, going back into our tents we slept. The alarms went off at 5 a.m. We immediately took some provisions and our rifles and headed out into the woods in search of Brett. There wasn't much chatter in the morning as the sun crested the hills. The woods were cold. We had a mission, and we were intent on completing that mission. The woods were also quiet. It's something I didn't really note at the time, but I probably should have. As we searched in silence, we came upon an orange beanie. Now, it could have been anyone's, but it was the right size and looked an awful like the one Brett would have worn. The thing had what looked like blood on it. This was an unnerving find, to say the least. But we weren't about to make assumptions, and perhaps foolishly, we wanted to think and believe that Brett was still okay. We continued our trek through the afternoon, and it was then we found something very off and something that was no mistaking as Brett's. His truck sat abandoned in the middle of the woods. This was exceedingly odd, as he wouldn't have driven his truck into the woods at all under normal circumstances. Stranger still was the fact that it was wrecked pretty badly. There were no signs of blood, but there were huge claw marks scashed into the sides of the wreckage. It was at this point we began to fear the worst. We weren't about to give up on our friend, but the evidence before us presented horrifying possibilities. That said, it also presented completely confusing possibilities. What could make such deep and large claw marks into the side of a truck? The marks were massive, like a bear, but if it were a bear, it would need to be huge. We searched the truck and realized Brett's weapons weren't in it. This gave us some hope that maybe he was still out there and still okay. This, combined with the fact that there didn't appear to be any blood at the scene, gave us all the hope we needed to press onward. We continued our search well into the evening before deciding we needed to head back for the night. We also decided to pick things up earlier in the next day so we could take on more land, and we'd pack up and take our camp with us so that we could make a better headway on future days, as the first day was only planned to be a preliminary search of sorts and wasn't meant to be as extensive as it wound up being. So, we returned to camp and we slept. There were no strange noises on this night, and we awoke at 4:30 in the morning and ate before packing up our things and heading back in the direction we found Brett's truck. It didn't take us long, as we had a real direction to head in this time, and we weren't aimlessly searching. We looked over Brett's truck one last time, and having found nothing new of interest, we headed further into the woods. As we continued our search of the woods, they once again were silent. This was something we actually noticed this time, and Tom even remarked on. He asked if we'd noticed how quiet it was, and we all agreed it was rather strange. I didn't say anything at the time. At least, to me, it also felt as though someone was watching us. We had weapons, though, and we didn't exactly scare easily. Also, we had a decent group with there being four of us, so I didn't bring up the feeling at all, as it didn't seem to bother anybody else, and I didn't want to warrant any, nauseating thoughts. By the time the sun was ready to set, we hadn't found anything new. It seemed like the trail to Brett had gone cold. It also seemed as though he'd simply vanished altogether. This was disappointing, and when the next couple of days turned up nothing as well, we were beginning to grow frustrated. The fourth night of searching ended in a cold wind, rain, and general feeling of disdain, as well as discouragement. It was on the fourth night we agreed we'd search at least three more days before presenting what we found to the authorities and hoping for the best. Keep in mind, we had jobs, lives, families, and we weren't averse to heading back on weekends to continue the search. On the morning of the fifth day, it was still raining. We packed up our gear, got into some more weather-appropriate clothing, and continued our search. By noon, we had found nothing. We were frustrated, but we pressed on. By around 4, we came upon tracks in the mud. They looked like a bear, but much, much larger. It reminded us of Brett's truck, at least in the size of the markings. But another thing worried us as well. These tracks were in the mud, and these were fairly fresh. They led over a hill, and it was there where we were shocked to find Brett. He was bloodied, had some marks we couldn't quite recognize, but he looked cold and terrified. We set up camp and got him out of the rain. We tried to give him food, but he said he wasn't hungry. After a short while, we all turned in. Brett stayed in Tom's tent and we all dozed off. It was about 1 in the morning we woke up to the terrified cries of Tom. We got up, grabbed our weapons, and ran to his tent in the time to see him being dragged out by something huge in the darkness. Worried for Tom, we continued our pursuit of him and whatever had him. The screams coming from Tom were horrifying, but even more horrifying was the massive size of whatever was dragging him away. Add to the fact that it had unnatural speed and you can understand how confused we were and how fearful we were at the time. We chased as far as we could, but this thing was fast. About a half hour into the chase, we were gassed. We paused to breathe, and that's when we heard Brett's voice screeching in the distance. We got all the energy we could muster up and ran up the hill to catch up with him. Exhausted, we found Brett shaking, cold, and stammering while pointing a shaky finger at a horrific sight. It was Tom. He had been torn open and was clearly dead. We were all sick at the sight of our friend, laying dead, having been drug away and mauled in the night by something we still couldn't identify. We tried our best to calm Brett and warm him up in the rain. When we got him back to camp, we tried to ask him what happened, but he just looked catatonic. He was clearly lost in his mind and shaken by whatever he had witnessed. We slept in shifts the remainder of the night, although, if I'm being honest, none of us really slept. The next morning, we all had some coffee, except Brett, who said he didn't want anything, increasing his anxiety at the moment after the previous night's events. I understood, and so we didn't press him on, but we did ask him again what he witnessed. Shakily, he explained how he heard Tom's screams, and then saw this massive shadow drag him off. He gave chase immediately, but the thing was fast, and by the time Tom made it, well, at that point, he trailed off and stopped speaking. I certainly understood why he would have, dropped the subject. The next thing that came up was what to do next. After some chat, we decided it was time to go to the police and then head home. We were all tired from the search, traumatized by what had happened to Tom, and we certainly didn't feel safe spending another night in the woods. We quickly packed up and began to head back. It was noon when Brett said he needed to pee. We told him we'd hang back, but he insisted he should at least go up the hill, so he had some privacy. We did so, but we didn't stray far. It was when we came over the hill that our blood ran cold. Hanging from a tree, splayed all over and heart missing, was the torn and tattered body of my best friend Brett. Before we could even question how this was possible, a dread-induced and cold mocking laughter came from behind us. It started in Brett's voice, but soon became a guttural, nonsensical roar of sorts. Turning around, we saw a creature I can only describe as a massive bear, but honestly, I'm not even sure if it was even a bear at all. Fearful for our lives, we pulled our rifles off our shoulders and emptied everything we had into this thing. A few of those bullets were placed between the eyes of this thing, and yet, it sat there unfazed. Not only was it unfazed, but it appeared to be smiling at us. Its teeth were massive, and fearing being eaten alive by them, we all ran for it. We were terribly far from the woods entrance at this point, but we'd already seen how fast this monstrosity could move, and we knew we were basically running on prayers. Daniel, myself, and Jim ran as fast as we could, probably faster than any of us have ever ran in our lives. But as we ran, we heard this thing begin to pursue. In what seemed a near blink of an eye, it was on top of Jim, and he was screaming. We stopped and tried to go back for him, but it was too late. This thing was eating his insides in seconds. It was eating almost as quickly as it moved, and it was at this point that Daniel and I left. We couldn't do anything for Jim, and while you can label us as cowards if you wish, there was, again, nothing we could do. We ran and ran and prayed, and yet we reached the entrance. Jim's screams still in our minds. We are no longer pursued by whatever had killed our friends. We got in our truck, went straight to the police, and did our best to explain the situation. As you might imagine, we weren't taken very seriously. As a search was done for the bodies, they were never recovered. Whatever this thing was probably ate the bones or did a damn great job of covering its tracks. Brett's truck wasn't even around anymore. Distraught and horrified, the search was given up after a time. Daniel and I lost touch after a bit and never went back to the woods again. I'm not sure what we ran into in those woods, but I never want to meet it again. My name is Jonathan, and I'm going to tell you about my search for Bigfoot in the woods of Oregon. I and my friend Donnie have always been into unexplained things and cryptids and such. Well, around where we live, there are always people talking about Bigfoot sightings. Now, Donnie and I have always been intrigued by Bigfoot. Growing up, we always said we'd find proof of Bigfoot one day. All that said, we decided to take some vacation time one summer and go looking. We figured, you'd never know, we might just find something. Also, if we didn't, it'd be okay because hanging with your best friend is always a good time. So, we set off with a strong sense of adventure and high hopes. The first day we didn't turn up much, but we had a wicked awesome stick fight and we shared some recreational goodness amongst one another. Full disclosure, we smoke weed, but unlike what Hollywood tells you, unless you lace that stuff with something special, you're getting some grade A amazing weed. You aren't going to be tripping balls. If anything, weed is relaxing. Anyway, the first day turned up nothing, but we were still happy and having a good time. Sometime around 5 in the morning, we were like awoken by some sort of sound that made us excited. We were pretty certain we heard a Bigfoot call. We got some breakfast, packed our stuff up, and continued in the direction of the call. It was pretty sweet out in the woods, and the mountains and all. Oregon is a great place if you stay away from the cities. So, we trekked for most of the second day, talking about stuff like you would. Like who would win a fight between Superman and Goku, an age-old question, I know, and what would happen if we were rich. It was good times, and Goku would win hands down, by the way. Day 2 came and went, and there still wasn't much going on other than the call we heard early in the morning. Day 3, we were woken up at 3 in the morning to another call. It sounded like multiple big feet out in the woods, but we thought this was pretty crazy. But also totally rad, as we didn't expect to hear this sort of stuff so quickly, if at all. We took our gear and continued our search, once again in the direction we heard the calls. This time we thought we'd found something. We saw a rather tall, hairy humanoid-looking creature, but we couldn't get a good angle, so we tried to move closer. As we moved in, this thing must have heard us because it darted off into the woods. It was fast, like one second it was there, and the next it wasn't. We were there a tad upset because we couldn't get the footage we were trying to get, but we thought it was all good and continued our search. I mean, we might have seen it with our own eyes, but what good is that if you can't get it on camera? Plus, we were a bit far away, so it was hard to say for sure if we were seeing what we thought we were seeing. So, in that way, it was a bummer. But this vacation was turning up a lot of good times and we couldn't be too bummed out about that. Long story short, it could have been the weed, but we were pretty chill about the whole situation. The next few days there wasn't much to go on or see. It was mostly a lot of walking and us beginning to debate if we should just head back and go home or not. It was probably around a week out that we made the decision to turn back. The vacation was nice, the scenery was great, but we weren't any closer to finding the proof we wanted of Bigfoot. Heading back was a long, kind of boring process. I'll spare you a lot of those details. We were both tired and ready to go home, get a shower, and chill. We were kind of over everything at this point. That said, we did eventually make it back. When we got there, though, we realized our keys were missing to the car. This was the worst possible feeling, as we had no idea how we would get back home, and we just wanted some sleep. Still, we needed to search, so we left our stuff sitting next to the car. We weren't really worried about being stolen, as there was nothing really valuable or that couldn't be replaced, and no one was around at the time. Heading deeper into the woods, we backtracked as much as possible, looking at the ground and eyeing things pretty intently. I was beginning to feel kind of pissed off when I heard the sound of jangling in the distance. It was pretty loud, as things were rather quiet, and it wasn't too far off. So we headed in the direction of the jangling. And that's when we saw something I'm still in disbelief about. We saw the creature from before, but this time it was much closer. Naturally, we didn't have our camera, but in that moment I didn't really care. I'm positive I saw a Bigfoot or a Bigfoot out there. It was jangling our keys like it was curious. I was pretty stoked, and as we approached, we stepped on a stick and the thing turned and looked at us. There was a brief pause and probably a bit of shock on all of our parts before the thing darted off into the woods, leaving the keys behind. I remember feeling pretty stoked and extremely happy in that moment. Sure, we didn't get our undeniable proof for the world of Bigfoot's existence. But we did get our personal proof for ourselves. I'm not really worried about people's beliefs nowadays. If you believe our story, awesome. If not, that's cool too. We know what we saw, and I've never been so happy to have temporarily lost my keys before. I've been sailing the seas for many a year. I usually do so as a fisherman. That said, about 20 years ago, several fishing boats in the Atlantic had gone missing while fishing. We fishermen are a tight group, and we captains like to keep in close touch both on and off the waters. There aren't many people who understand what it's like on the waters. Well, to make a long story shorter, I volunteered to head a crew out to sea while these boats were missing. Now, there is a lot of superstition that runs through sea captains. We hold a lot of beliefs that most who spend their lives on land simply wouldn't hold. So, while we figured it was something to do with the inclement weather or the like, there was still that creeping part of me that wondered, what if there were more? 10 boats had gone missing in a short span of time. A few weeks, really. A lot of the missing crew and captains were well-seasoned, much like myself. It would stand to reason that there would have to be a reasonable explanation or something else. We sailed the seas for about a week in search of what might be responsible for the disappearances, but we hadn't found anything yet. That said, at night, there was a strange feeling. I describe it as ominous. For example, if you could breathe fear, that was the level of dread that hung in the air for what seemed like no reason at all. There was just something about the nights around the waters in the area that just felt off. 3 weeks into our investigation, one of our crew threw himself off the ship. We tried to go back for him, but once he was in the waters, he never came back up. He just sank. If that wasn't startling enough, there was once or twice where our course had been altered by something that bumped us from underneath the waters. We weren't in an area with any land, and we weren't in icy waters, so something was in the waters themselves. I still remember the fear felt by myself and the crew both times it happened. It wasn't a massive shove, but it was enough to change our course and enough for us to notice. We had a fairly large ship, so it would take something rather large in the water. Another week goes by, and I'm out on the deck one night to check a report. One of the crew members had been seeing a large eye in the water, apparently. I am superstitious, but I had to check this report out for myself as the guy giving it sounded stark raving mad. I checked on the man, and he swore to what he saw. I tried to assure him I believed him, but internally, I wasn't sure what to actually think. My crew would think I was crazy if I had said that I believed him. I kept a close watch on the waters until it was time to drop the anchor and sleep for the night. This is where things got really strange. Much of my crew had begun to lose it. They were skittish, and I could hear many of them pacing the halls. I kept my quarters locked as I felt unnerved. This is saying a lot, as before being out here, I would have trusted these men with my life. That feeling of dread came over me again, and there was a very unnerving quiet on the waters themselves. Then, just as suddenly as it was there, it was gone. The men calmed, and everyone got some sleep. I eventually passed out from exhaustion myself, but was abruptly awoken by something in the night pounding at my door. I answered and found my second-in-command telling me he lifted the anchor and he was heading back as he saw several of the crew walking willfully off the deck. I ran outside to go see what was up, and sure enough, about half the crew had gone. One of the men I caught glimpse of was smiling as he did so. Shocked and disturbed by this, I gave the order to turn and head back home. The only thing stranger than the men willingly going off the side was the fact that once they did, they never came back up. It was like they hit the water and sank into the great beyond. As we were pulling away, though, I saw it. Once we had turned and we were leaving the waters, I saw a huge eye in the water, and it followed us for a short time before turning off and leaving. On its way off and out, I swear I saw large tentacles. I'm not sure what to really make of it all, but we eventually made it back home and reported our losses. No one believed us or took us seriously within law enforcement. They believed everyone had gotten spooked and came under some kind of sickness and hysteria. Those of us who were there, well, we know better. I'm a retired Marine who has seen my fair share of combat. I've had plenty of close calls in my lifetime and some crazy stories to go with them. That said, I've never encountered anything quite like a Wendigo. To preface this story, I want you to understand I'm very familiar with cryptids. I spent years studying them as a hobby, even while in the military. So when I found one roaming the woods in my area, you can imagine how excited and shocked I was all at the same time. My first run-in with one was while driving home late one night. I rounded a corner and nearly totaled my vehicle by hitting something massive. The thing left the scene quickly and unscathed, but not before I saw its body and smelled the stench of rotting meat. Being it was so close to where I was living, I made it a point to be wary. I didn't want myself or anyone in the area to be in danger, so I readied myself to go looking for this thing. The next morning, I got up bright and early and prepared a few things. I went looking for any sign of this beast. I knew they were more likely to come out at night, but I wanted to see if I could find any clues as to where it was holed up at. As I searched the area, I noticed that I couldn't find too much going on, so I get my gear up and prepared to camp for the night. I had a few things up my sleeve should I encounter the thing. I loaded my weapons with silver bullets and made sure to have plenty of flammables on hand. I waited, and the first night was tense. I could hear a ton of rustling in the woods, and at one point I saw the thing, staring at me from the darkness. I sat by my campfire and drew my weapon, but before I could do much, it was gone. It wasn't long after that that I decided to turn in. As I headed to sleep, I felt the presence of the thing. I was quite sure it was stalking me now, and as such, I lay down, gun in hand, prepared to fiend, sleep, and fire. The thing never made its move. Either it had an idea of what I was planning, or it was waiting, possibly trying to simply intimidate me into leaving, or even trying to drive me mad with paranoia. The second part of that thought is what concerned me the most. I had my fair share of trauma from the days in battle. All that said, I wasn't too concerned. It's best not to panic in battle situations. The next morning, I got some sleep and waited, ate a little bit before I fell asleep once again. I did my best to lure out the creature at this point, but I didn't even sense it on the second night. The third night, however, I could hear it stalking me again. It moved almost in step with me, so it wasn't easy to keep up with where it was. That said, there were a few moments where it felt like it would intentionally step slightly out of concert with my own steps, as a way to say, "I see you, and I'm following you right now." Again, it felt like a way to intimidate me. I was a Marine. I don't get intimidated easily, but I will admit, this was slightly unnerving. Nothing overly so, but enough to make me think for a moment if I really wanted to keep this hunt up at all, like honestly, like maybe I should quit, you know? As any good soldier does, though, I continued. I had a mission. I wasn't about to just give up on it. I felt like my neighborhood would be in danger if this thing was just left out here. Nothing else happened that night. The fourth night, however, I awoke to the sound of an animal slowly dying. I knew it was that damned thing doing the killing, but before I could figure out where it was, for sure, I heard a loud thud and my tent caved in on top of me. I could smell rotting flesh and spent a few rounds fearing this thing was now on top of me. When I finally got out, however, I realized I had tossed a dead deer's carcass that it had just eaten part of at my tent. It seemed the Wendigo, for sure, knew that I was there. and it wanted to play games. And it knows that I wasn't going to put up with it. I got up and began to eye the trees closely. I couldn't see the thing, but I knew it was out there, watching me. I reloaded my weapons and prepared to go further out. This was a night I wasn't going to just let by. I was going to make something happen. I was going to find this thing, and I was going to kill it. A familiar stench filled the air, and the woods grew quiet. I scanned the area when I heard something from behind me. I turned to fire, but then I heard a voice. It was the voice of a dead friend. This thing clearly mimicked it to scare me, but all it did was piss me off even more. I headed as fast as I could toward the voice, gun drawn, and that's when I saw it for a moment before it sprinted deeper into the woods. Angry, I continued pursuing the thing, but as I did, I realized what was happening. This thing was luring myself into a trap. I prepared myself and slowed my pace. It was too late, though. As I came into a clearing, I noticed an old cabin. That's when I was ambushed by wolves. I turned and fired away at them. I felt the thing had somehow influenced them, and I wasn't going down that easily. I killed many before the rest stopped and slowly backed away into the woods. That's when the thing stepped out and stared me down. I was almost overwhelmed by the stinking, rotting stench of the creature, but I kept the contents of my stomach in check as I readied my weapon. I aimed and fired at the thing, which moved so quickly that it looked as though it had vanished. The next thing I knew, I was hit and sent flying from my side into a tree. I felt my head aching as I struggled to stand before something stabbed me through the left side of my stomach. I looked down to see a stick pinning me down. I raised my weapon and fired off a few rounds before I felt my gun knocked out of my hand. The thing was standing before me with one of my hands in its grip. It smelled so foul that I could barely breathe and I began vomiting. With what little sense I had left in me, I reached for a flask of gasoline I had on me, threw it open into the creature, before pulling my lighter out and lighting the sucker up. It held on to me as its body began to burn before finally letting go and reeling in pain. I was feeling dizzy and grabbed the stick and pulled it hard enough to get it free from the tree. And then I picked my lighter up and walked over and set the cabin on fire. After that, I hobbled out of the woods in pain and somewhere near home. I collapsed. I was found by a neighbor and a good friend who saw me coming out of the woods while looking to see the source of the smoke. He took me to a hospital, and I woke 3 days later, still alive. I don't feel great about the hunt. To be honest, I probably wouldn't do that again if I didn't have to. I almost died, and I was foolish to believe I could easily handle a Wendigo. I still have nightmares of the thing and my encounter with it to this day. My name isn't important to the story, so for privacy reasons, I won't be sharing it or my exact location. All you need to know is I own a farm in the Midwest. Now, things are rather rural where I live, and it's the kind of place where if something is wrong, you gotta protect yourself as the police aren't going to be there very quickly. I say all of this to inform you that I am not hesitant about owning guns or my 2A rights. A few years ago, I had some problems with cattle and such going missing. Now sometimes you get some idiot who thinks they might steal from your livestock. I've had some run-ins with people like that, and I've always put a swift end to it. I didn't kill them, relax, but I did scare these types away. Still, as I said, every now and again, some numbskull thinks they can get away with it and some of my livestock will go missing. So when some went missing a few years ago, I didn't think a whole lot of it, as I figured I'd already solved the mystery. I just needed to wait around and prove it and rid myself of the hooligans stealing my animals. It was this mindset that led me to happily camping out on my own farm one night, and it was this mindset that led me to a discovery that was both horrifying and intriguing. Now, you gotta understand, my farm is rather massive in size. You aren't going to see the whole thing without walking for quite a while. So when I say I camped out, I was in a mobile camp of sorts. I have plenty of animals on my farm. I keep pigs, sheep, goats, horses, all manner of animals. I tell you this to help you understand that I don't own whatever the hell was attacking my animals on that night. I was stalking out in the farm. I was patrolling my farm under the assumption that I'd find the hooligan running off with my animals rather soon, and handle it even more quickly. As it turned out, that isn't what I found at all. In fact, I was extremely surprised when I saw this hulking, dog-like animal running on hind legs and stealing sheep out of my pen before darting off into the woods. Now, I'm in my 60s, and I've seen a lot of stuff in my life. I've never seen a thing like this in all my decades on this earth. Seeing it grab my sheep and run off into the woods made me pursue it. This was partly out of curiosity, but also I worked my butt off to provide for these animals, and I don't need some creature running off with animals and using them as food. Upon searching further, it became evident rather quickly that food was what this thing wanted. It only took me a few minutes to find what was left of my sheep. A leg here, lots of blood, and some organs. Outside of that, there wasn't much of anything left. I looked around for any other sign of this bipedal dog, but I found nothing of the sort. There was no trace of this thing outside of what was left of my sheep. I very slowly and cautiously made my way back to the house and locked the place up nice and tight. I slept with one eye open that night, and I'll admit, I was pretty scared, but I had to protect my livestock. The next night, I set out some bear traps and waited. I watched as this thing cautiously stepped around the traps and came upon some of the pigs. I pulled my rifle out and fired off several rounds. I'm not sure if I actually hit the thing, but it immediately darted off with my pig. I was angry and disarmed the traps so as not to get myself before keeping my eyes out watching the tree line. I thought I could possibly lure this thing out and kill it, but traps weren't going to do it. Realizing I wasn't going to get anywhere tonight, I got some sleep feeling comfortable in the fact that the thing at least didn't seem to be coming anywhere near my home. I fell asleep a bit more comfortably this night. That was until I heard something bust my door open. I wasn't sure at the time, but I grabbed my Magnum and had enough time to turn before this huge dog-like figure stood over me. I fired out of panic and then heard this thing yelp. I got it in the body and it ran out of my home. This thing left quickly and it took me a moment to realize I was still pulling the trigger on my empty weapon. I replaced and reinforced all my doors the next day. I was terrified, and I wasn't sure if this thing was going to come back. The next night, though, I watched for quite a while, and I didn't see anything. When I finally went to sleep, I slept hard. It was 5 nights later that I caught this thing trying to take a horse. I was half in shock at the fact it would try to do something like this, but also, this thing was big enough to pull this off. I rushed over in my truck and chased after the SOB. It caught sight of me and ran off, but I slammed the pedal and came after this thing. I was pissed off and terrified as I tried to keep up with it in my truck. It made it to the tree line, which I stopped the truck, jumped out, and pulled out my rifle. It was gone. I was angry, but I went ahead and headed back home. I wasn't happy about the situation, but I had to find a way to kill this thing or get rid of it. Another 2 weeks went by. It wasn't comfortable. I barely slept and was in need of some serious rest. My old bones ached when I patrolled my farm. I was at the point of fear and exhaustion. I barely was able to communicate. Suddenly, I was hearing a commotion. I drove my truck to find nothing. My animals are clearly scared, and I got out of my truck to have a look around. As I began walking, I had an uneasy sense something was wrong. I was right. I heard a loud noise, and my truck went flipping. I turned around and saw this hulking figure in the clear sight. It must have been 10, maybe 12 feet tall. It lunged for me. I tried to draw my Magnum, but was quickly knocked off my feet into the mud of the pig pen. I tried scrambling to my feet. I was disoriented and struggling to catch my breath. I grabbed my knife in time to swing out, which made the creature back up for a second. I slowly stood up, knife in hand, and ready myself to attack this thing at any moment. The thing let out a loud growl and then lunged for me. I drove forward with the knife, and I felt it snap off in the thing's chest. The thing began breathing very raggedly. eyed me, and then trotted off into the woods. That was the last time I ever saw that thing. I've gone on hunts since and looked for it, but I stopped after finding no trace of anything. My farm is quiet again, as it should be. Whew! What a wild ride that was. These were some very long, very detailed, and downright very scary stories. If you enjoyed them, please hit that like button. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, as stories like yours will help keep this channel going. You can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories at Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, and just about every other major podcasting platform that you can find. I know not everybody has data, and if you don't have YouTube Premium, this is a great way to bring your favorite stories everywhere you want. What were your thoughts on these stories? Do you think it's smart to try to go out hunting Wendigos and Dogmen, or do you think we should just live and let live? Personally, I don't think that I'm going to be trying to wrestle down any Wendigos anytime soon, that's for sure. If you guys aren't aware, I just put out a brand new Christmas sweater. I hope you guys will check that out. You can also use code COLDSHREK, all one word, COLDSHREK, for $5 off your order. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp. And I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. Today's code word, if you made it all the way to the end, is oscillating fan.